come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Acts of the Apostles, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through Acts chapters 17 through 28. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Lord Jesus, as we just get into this study today, we're starting later than normal because of registration. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst and that we are aware of your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us this time to just sit at your feet, Lord, and to hear from you by the Holy Spirit, Lord, teaching. And I thank you, Father, for these precious, precious ladies. And we pray, Lord, that you would be honored, you would be glorified, and that you would be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. So now there would be people that would look at chapters 17 through 28, and they would say, well, you've already studied the first part of Acts, so I don't need to come to that second part. I've got to catch up. The reason that we separated it in this way is this 17 through 28 really is a completely different section of the book of Acts as from 1 through 16. But I want to ask you, why do we study the book of Acts? What is the purpose of studying the book of Acts? And I would say to you, it is a picture of what the church should be today. It is a picture of what the church is. It is a picture of how Paul, as well as others that we're going to meet in this book, taught and displayed what a true Jesus follower is. I've been noticing lately that when we talk about Christianity, I'm hearing more the words Jesus follower. And that's what we are, aren't we? Christian means that we are Christ-like. That was the name that was given to the early believers. We are followers of Jesus. And that's what this book is going to be directing us on. The first thing we'll see in our study is that the early church encouraged the brethren. We're going to see in chapter 17 that the early church, the one thing that they did was they encouraged the brethren. They were there for each other. In the midst of their challenges and their victories, they encouraged one another. In their challenges and in their victories, they encouraged one another, which made me begin to ask questions of myself, and I ask it of you right now. Are we, in our challenges and in our victories, are we encouragers to others? Are we encouragers to others? In our challenges, when things are hard, when things are not going right, everything in our life is going wrong, can I still encourage somebody else by what I say or by the way that I handle my challenge? Because we're speaking volumes in the way that we handle our challenges, and we see that in the book of Acts. We have that friend. We are to be friends, true friends, and we have that friend in Jesus that is a friend that is closer than a brother. And so we will find that in the book of Acts here. Recently, I received a newsletter from our friends who are missionaries in China, and I needed to share it with you. It was so good to be able to hear this. It's called Roomba on Roids. Roomba on Roids, and this is what they wrote. And I want to preface it with, they are younger people. They're younger than me, so. I don't like talking to machines. I don't ask Siri where the nearest Starbucks is. I don't ask Google what the weather in San Diego is. I don't ask Alexa to play any music or tell me a joke. I just don't. I'm not against modern technology, they wrote. I think it's fascinating what's being developed, like artificial intelligence. Living in China, there's a lot of discussion about that here, but that's just it. It's artificial. We recently had an interesting encounter. We were in the elevator heading back to our room on the 16th floor of the hotel after a long, hot day at the World Police and Fire Games. World Police and Fire Games. I'm anxious to find out exactly what those games were. And so they were exhausted and really just wanted a shower. I was a little annoyed when we stopped on the 15th floor. Great. Another delay. While trying to work up a pleasant smile, the elevator doors opened and in walked, rolled, a robot. It said hello and proceeded to roll right toward me. A little startled, I thought, so what's the protocol here? Do I say hello? Do I say it in Chinese? Why did it say hello to me in English and not in Chinese? Is it profiling me right now? I wonder how long it had been waiting for the elevator. Come to think of it, how did it push the button? As these random thoughts were bouncing around in my mind, we arrived at our floor and got off. The robot stayed on, apparently preferring a different floor. Should I say goodbye? Later, we learned that this robot goes from floor to floor and vacuums all of the areas, and then it comes down and it plugs itself in on the at the lobby to recharge, like a Roomba on steroids, is what they wrote. Technology like this is supposed to make our lives better and easier, and I guess it can, but I still don't want to talk to it. Let me show you a picture of our, yes. And they wrote, you know, they can put two camera lens eyes on a robot and paint a silly smile on its face, but it's not a friend. It's a machine. It seems we are so engaged with technology, our cell phones and other devices, that we've actually become more isolated than ever before. Experts say that we are lacking real friends, real friendships, and human contact. I think that's true, is what they wrote. They continued on. I read an article about a clinic in California that's offering new cuddle therapy. Yes, that is true. You will pay somebody to cuddle you, to hug you. I guess, sorry, yeah, never mind, not going there. Not everyone has an Annie Berry as a friend to hug them. Really, is that where we are at now? Are real friendships just too hard? This is continuing on in their newsletter. Do they require just too much of us? Maybe, but we need each other. We need someone to laugh and cry with, someone to talk to, and yes, someone to hug. We need real friends who will tell us the truth, even when it's ugly. A real friend tells us the truth even when it's ugly, someone to cheer us on and someone to walk through this life with. God created us for relationship with Him and with one another. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. And then in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. You guys, I am excited about you guys. I love how you love one another. I love how you encourage one another. I love how you hug one another. I love how you care for one another. And you do that because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. But how do we come to this kind of relationship with Christ and with others? Yes, it begins with accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. It begins with confessing our sins and repenting of them and being born again. And that is the beginning. But we must grow. It's not enough to just be born. You have to grow. And so how do we grow in that? According to the book of Acts, we're still having another illustration here. The smoke tree, when we were in the desert this past June, God gave me an awesome illustration, and it is a smoke tree. Could we have the picture of the smoke tree, please? That's a smoke tree. The smoke tree is named that because it looks like puffs of smoke. Don't you agree? It kind of looks like puffs of smoke. Can you see that in this picture? The smoke tree is born or planted in the storm. Now, if you were at the couples retreat, you know what I had to say about this. This might be a review for you. When the floods come through the washes in the desert, the seeds are planted. And that's why you see the growing only in the washes. They don't grow in other areas. They only are growing. See how the water would rush down there. It would come from a flood. Not just water running down, but a flood rushing through there. That's how it's planted. It can grow to be 10 to 20 feet high with a width of 10 to 15 feet across. But there's a very interesting thing about this tree. It takes a long time before you see any growth on top of the ground. Because the first thing to grow out of that seed is one taproot. And that one taproot will bury itself, go down, down, down in the dark, down in the soil, down through the rocks, down until it reaches life-giving water. Until it reaches living water. And then when it reaches that living water, it begins to push up through the dirt, through the darkness, through the hardness of the soil, and you see something coming up at the top. And because of that attachment, water is reached, and only when life-giving water is reached does it begin to reach up, pushing through there, and begins to produce sustenance for bees and for butterflies. Because of the attachment to this life-giving water, because this taproot has gone down so far, so deep, that the tree cannot be pulled out. Could we have the slide of the tree with Bill standing. You see the size of that tree? It's about the height of his knee. He tried to pull that out. That's Bill, you know, because somebody said you can't pull him out, so he tried. But you can't even budge it. You can't even make it go back and forth and try to pull it out. It is so attached to that living water, it's so held in place that the very storms that planted it cannot move it again. And that's what we're going to learn about in the book of Acts. The illustration is clear, I hope, anyway. We study the book of Acts so that we might go deeper and, like Paul and the others, not be dislodged when the storms come. Because the storms will come. Does anybody else in here know that to be true? You know what? I got to tell you that this reminds me. I don't know why this reminds me of this. I just had a dream yesterday morning before I woke up, and I dreamed about Jesus coming back. I was so excited when I woke up, that reminder that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. He's coming for us. He really is coming for us. We're going to look at some of those things as we go through this book of Acts, chapters 17 through 28. This study through chapters 17 through 28 will teach us how to stand together and how to stand alone, knowing that others, our friends, are there for us in prayer and in provision when necessary. We will learn about how God put them together. God has called us to relationship with Him and with others, and that call is the very same today as it was in the early church. We need each other. We need face-to-face time. Not just FaceTime, although that's very good. We need face-to-face time with someone that is a dear friend, that will encourage us, that will strengthen us. So someone that we just call up and say, I just need somebody to talk to. Can we go get coffee? Do you notice how much better you talk over food? You know, Jesus did his best work over food. And he moves in us because we're not going to leave the table. That's the reason, right? We're not going to leave the table. And so we find that we need each other. And when we have that face-to-face time, that physical face-to-face time, we walk away from that feeling encouraged, feeling strengthened. Maybe we still walk away in tears, but we know that we're not going through it alone. I have somebody walk with me. We all need somebody who will walk with us through all of those days. Like I said, I'm so proud of all of you guys. People talk about how this women's ministry loves one another. You don't know it, but there are people who have come and visited here, and they talk about you. And they talk about you in a way that so encourages me because they talk about how you love one another, how you love the Lord, how you are excited about being taught, and how you love one another. That doesn't happen everywhere, guys. But it happens here, not because this is refuge, but because you are who you are. And you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you might be in this group and you thought, I'll come and visit. I don't know. I don't know in a group this size. I don't know if you've all accepted the Lord as your Savior. If you haven't, now's the time to do it. Simply ask Him to come and live in your heart, forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and help you to walk in a way that brings glory to Him. And you will be born again. Your life will be changed. And you will walk in newness of life. So now this is probably the weirdest introduction to a group of scriptures that you've ever had, but that you guys who know me know that this is normal. So we will be introduced to the ability to stand together. In these chapters, we're going to be introduced to a few things. We're going to be introduced to the ability to stand together with one another. The ability to stand together with one another. We are going to be seeing how to listen to one another. Oh, what? Wait. And respond with humility. You mean I don't need to be right all the time? We're going to learn that. We're going to learn that a man named Paul, who was obviously a very prideful man, learned how he learned humility. And he learned to listen to people. There'll be times when Paul will take direction from others as to when to go in certain places and when to leave them and how to leave them, whether or not he should leave them quietly or make a big deal about his leaving. He would listen to other people through the Spirit. We'll see that he was not so important to himself that he couldn't listen to others and know that God was speaking to other people as much as he was speaking to him. We all know that. God speaks to every one of us, and he doesn't speak to me more than he speaks to you. I promise you. Every one of us, are his favorite. I was going to say I'm not his favorite, or I am his favorite, but we are all God's favorite. And he loves us, and he speaks to every one of us. So when you hear him speaking to you, respond to that and love one another. He didn't see himself as always. We'll meet a number of new people. We'll meet Aquila and Priscilla. Many of you have known of them for a long time, the couple that worked so well together. We're going to meet Eutychus. Eutychus was the young boy that was sitting in the window. He was listening to Paul talk, and Paul was talking long into the night. And Eutychus sat in the window three stories up, and he happened to fall asleep. And he fell the three stories and lived to talk about it, because God's in control. We will meet disciples who were introduced to the Holy Spirit. They were disciples, and yet they knew nothing of the Holy Spirit. There is something that we can learn all the time. All the time. God's word is always new. We'll meet the sons of Sceva. The sons of Sceva, the ones who thought that, oh, well, I just want the power. I don't want the relationship. I just want the power. And we'll see what happened to those guys, because they just wanted power. We'll learn about the riot because of the idol makers. Paul will tell us that none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, so that I can finish my race, which is my life, and finish what God has called me to do. He has called me to preach the gospel. And that's what Paul will be talking about. We'll be introduced to Philip the evangelist. We'll learn of Paul's visits to James and how he took James' direction on how better to respond to the Jews in that area in Jerusalem. And yes, Paul will get arrested, and Paul will once again give his testimony. In fact, I think he gives his testimony three times in this section of Scripture. Paul will be sent to Felix the governor, who it says had an accurate knowledge of the way. Felix had an accurate knowledge of the way. The way was, this is what Jesus is. This is who he is. This is what we're preaching, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Felix understood it, and yet he was so weak that he wanted to please the Jews, so that when he left office, he left Paul in prison. We'll read about that. We'll read about how Paul appealed to Caesar. We'll have an introduction to King Agrippa. We'll read about Paul's little sailing trip to Rome and the fun time that that was. It was just a little cruise. Paul and the storms at sea. Paul arrives in Rome, remains a prisoner, but the gospel never is in prison. Because you know what was going on? He was under house arrest. He had one guard that was with him all the time. Who was the prisoner? The guard. Because Paul just kept talking. Dude, you're going to get saved. I'm just saying, this is my life, and you get to stay here. You get to stay with me, and I get to share with you. And God's doing a great thing. And you think that you just are... No, God had a plan. And so then, how did Paul manage to stand strong through all of this? I submit to you that it was because of the taproot in his life that went deep and was connected to the living water, that gave him the strength and the courage and the fortitude to stand in the storms and never let go, and never, ever let go of that living water. That's the kind of stuff that we're going to learn about as we go through this area of the book of Acts. He was securely fastened to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got by with a little help from his friends as well. I can't wait to share with you what God has in this section of text. I'm excited for you to know what God has to say to you. I know that God is going to have a specific thing as we go through this study, and I want you to write this down. I want you to write down, Lord, show me your word to me through this study. And just kind of keep it out and start making lists underneath it of the things that God shows you as you go through this study from week to week. I can't wait to dig into it with you. And so that being our huge introduction to this portion of Scripture. I didn't do it the normal way like everybody else, like normal people do. I don't have an outline because I don't know how to make one. I never put anything under the Roman numeral. It's not the right thing. It never is. And it does it go, is it an A underneath there or is it a number underneath there? What is it supposed to be? Is it a small letter or a big letter? I don't know. But what I know is that God gave you this word today. And whatever you take home from this word is what God has spoken to you. So you're going to want to write that down under your little question that you just put down. So now we're going to break up into our groups, but I think I'll pray first. Okay, Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, God, that you are in complete control of our lives. I thank you for these ladies that are excited about your word. I thank you for these ladies who love you with their whole heart. I thank you, God, that you have come in and you have... You're over us, Lord. We feel your presence. We know that you're right here with us. And we are thankful, Lord. And so as we go into small groups, Lord, I pray, Father, that in the name of Jesus, that you will just minister and that you will be in complete control of this group time and that you'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.